Between the Grooves is hosted by James Curtis, music director and morning man in the Greater Toronto Area on Joy Radio. And Aisha Woods, Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, and musician. Together, they talk with artists and industry insiders to discover our connection between music and faith. You can connect with us on Facebook or X at Between Grooves and on Instagram at Between Grooves Pod. Now, here's James and Aisha.
I don't know.
Gosh.
I don't know. Why are we starting with that? You know, why are we starting with that?
So this is Christmas.
Yeah, it's become an annual tradition to invite many of our previous guests from the last year to come back and celebrate Christmas with us and share some stories, memories, traditions. And this is something I look forward to every year, just all of us getting together. And it's always a busy time of year, right? It's not only the shopping and the get-togethers and the Christmas parties and whatever else, but it's also a busy...
And food.
Let's not forget about that. But it's a busy time, particularly for artists and musicians, because that's when they have a lot of their end-of-the-year concerts, church programs, Christmas music if they've recorded some stuff. And so, so it can be a busy time. I'm sure that once Christmas is done, they kind of like to kick back a little and spend, you know, some downtime with their family or just downtime in general. But a busy time of year. And but hey, that's what this episode's all about, is to talk about, you know, all the memories that go behind Christmas.
Do you have some hot cocoa or some coffee or some tea? Like, you have to have something.
Let's
listen to this episode.
Yeah, why don't we get a batch of hot cocoa happening, and we can all sit around the fireplace and chat.
Let's listen to this first story from George Mondera.
So I wrote a Christmas song about 5 years ago that I released, actually. And, you know, it did okay, you know, but it didn't blow up or anything like that. But, you know, people got to connect with it, which is... It's called Jesus, the Heart of Christmas. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with a guy called Cliff Richards.
I know the name.
Yeah, so he's a sir in the UK. You know, I mean, he's had more number ones than the Beatles. I'll say one of the most actually successful artists has had a top 10 in over 6 decades. Friends with the Queen. I mean, like, it's pretty amazing. And so I grew up listening to his music. I mean, everyone knows who he is. He's like a British icon. And so he did, I mean, he's 80 years old now and hasn't recorded, I think he's at the most Christmas number ones in the UK. And he decided to release a record this year and a single. And he picked up the song that I did and he recorded that song that I wrote. Yeah, and it's, I mean, for me, that's just like...
That's huge.
Crazy. It's huge. I mean, you know, and it took me back to Africa as a kid, you know. Me and my brothers would sit out and look at, you know, the stars and wonder where the planes were going, you know, the skies. And we'd be like, hey, you know, that plane is going to England. That one is going to America. And to have this British icon, you know, record a song that I was a part of. And it professing Jesus, you know, and getting to number two in the UK charts, like over Christmas. And to hear the song Jesus, the Heart of Christmas being played in the UK, all over BBC, all over TV, and even in all these households, I think that's pretty amazing, you know. And not amazing that it's my song, but what God has done, I mean, it's just amazing.
You know how there are some staples, some songs in your library, if you will, that are just staples in your household, some that you listen to every single year. I think that that's what this song is going to do for George and for a lot of households.
Yeah, there's the music, the movies, the time together, and oh, look, here's Patrick Mayberry.
I'm a sucker for just the classic Christmas movies, you know, White Christmas, Christmas Vacation, you know, Home Alone. There's so many great movies. But honestly, like, I think just the last, like, 4 or 5 years, I've really just deeply appreciated, like, Christmas Day, waking up and just being with my kids and my wife. And we kind of have, like, it took us a while to kind of find our little tradition and our thing, you know. It's kind of like, do we go to a parent's house? Do we go to my parents? Do we go to her parents? But now we kind of just do our own thing. And, you know, we have this breakfast that we kind of do every year, and there's kids are doing presents and we just hang out. And, you know, I just love being with my family. And so I think that Christmas Day, those first, you know, 6 hours of the day are kind of my favorite Christmas tradition memory.
I just love it when we can get together as family and friends and just loved ones and enjoy one another. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect, just being together. Like, some of our families are messy when we get together, and you know, some of our friends are just, it is what it is. But it's the holiday time, and it's just being together is what really matters, and what really, it's what really counts.
And sometimes you just have memories of, you know, Christmas has passed where perhaps it was at the time it was a bad situation, but now you reflect on it thinking that was actually quite amusing, and you, you remember it for that, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, look, previous Between the Grooves co-host Drew Brown has just shown up. Do you have a favorite memory you'd like to share?
I have two kids. They're now, you know, teenagers now, but when they were younger, they were, Christmas was the biggest thing ever. Like, whatever, Christmas, it's like, it's massive. And we used to, you know, like most families do, you put up the tree, and one year we decided to let the kids just decorate the tree themselves, just like have at it and just go, let's see what happens. It was my favorite tree because it was so ugly. And I think I look back and I'm like, the lights are just horrible and all the decorations are on one like small side of the tree. And like, for me, Christmas is always about the kids. Always about the kids. I'm like, you know, whatever, tree, no tree, I don't really care personally. But like, when it comes to the kids, I'm like, it has to be all out for their sake.
Right.
And so watching them put the stuff on the tree so horribly, so terribly, not caring, thinking they did the best job ever. And I'm like, you know what? It is the best job ever. It was just so, like, perfect.
Do they still decorate the tree?
They do, but now they're like,
now they know.
Now they know. So like,
that's horrible. That's terrible. You're doing a bad job.
So now it's very nitpicky and like very intense and intentional. I do miss the chaos of just lights in one part of the tree.
Like,
it was horrible, and I loved every minute of it. And when I think about Christmas, that's one of the first things that pop in my mind, like a horrible, ugly tree that I loved so much.
Hey, Drew, thanks so much for dropping by. And speaking of lights, we've got Bridget Donahoe on the line right now. Bridget?
We have this thing in Michigan close to our house, and it is a drive-through light display. And I remember when we were in the drive-thru light display, we were thinking, I mean, we wanted it to be a every year tradition. I was like, this is going to be your new family tradition. We're going to do this. It's going to be awesome. And then I didn't realize how long the line would be and that you couldn't actually get out of the line.
Oh, yeah. You're stuck in that thing for sure.
You're stuck. You can't go anywhere. And so we're in this line. And, you know, we have Home Alone playing for the boys in the back. And I'm like, this is amazing. We're going to get hot chocolate afterwards. You know, all the feels of the Christmas ambiance and, you know, the Christmas magic, if you will. And it was not so magical. We were stuck in the line. Both of my boys had to use the restroom. I'm like, we have nowhere to go. I don't know what to do. And so, like, you see all these families, like, when you get closer to the entrance, they're kind of pulling off. And so my husband had to, you know, I got in the driver's seat and he had to go and run the boys out to, you know, the woods. And it was just a complete disaster.
So you did it once, you're never doing it again, right?
No. So that was not a family tradition that we carried on, but it was like the best of intentions. And so it'll always be in the back of my mind because my husband will tease me. Like, I think every year he's where he says, you want to go see those lights? And we all roll our eyes. We're like, never again.
Man, I love the lights and the songs and all that good stuff. I got a quick question to ask you.
Okay.
Did you believe in Santa and the reindeer and all that? Coming up.
My mom was a staunch disbeliever of Santa. She didn't want us to. she you know, I don't know if it was a religious thing or what. She wanted us to know the true meaning of Christmas. So I remember as a child, I had this small, I shouldn't say small. It was this big Santa doll, if you want to call it that. But it was, I think it was slightly shorter than me. Of course, I'm just a little kid, but, you know, at that point, it was, you know, maybe 3 feet high or something like that. And I had it given to me by someone. I don't remember the story behind it, except that my mom detested this thing. She hid it in a closet. She wouldn't let me keep it. She ended up throwing it away because she didn't want us as kids thinking that, you know, Santa was behind Christmas. Now, plug your ears, kids, because you didn't hear it from me. But, you know, apparently there's something else that Christmas is really all about. So, yeah, that was the thing for us.
Well, let's see what Michael Cochran has to say about it all.
Yeah, I always think about my mom. We were kids. We did the Santa Claus thing. I know that's probably a dividing thing for a lot of people, but we did the Santa Claus thing. And my mom, one year, I forget how old I was, but I was like probably on the verge of like, I don't know. And anyways, I won't go down that road. But just edit that out, just in case, you know, because all ages listen to this. I don't want to ruin anything. Anyways, I was old enough to where Christmas was changing for me in some ways, and my mom purchased reindeer dust, or something like that it was called. And it was basically just a bag of glitter, you know. But it was reindeer dust. And we were supposed to sprinkle that in our yard and like on our roof and stuff. And that was going to help the reindeer find our house. And me and my brother went out in our snow boots on Christmas Eve in the front yard. Looking back, we're just literally sprinkling glitter in our yard. But we had this little bag and we were so excited about it. And we were like throwing it at each other. Man, they're going to find us. It's going to be so great, you know. And so I just always think about that. I think about that for a lot of reasons, but I always look back about that and laugh. Like, my mom had us out in the yard throwing reindeer dust, and we always bring it up. She's like, Mom, remember that time that you, like, must have been so tired of us in the house that you gave us a bag of reindeer dust to go out and flag down the reindeer outside?
I like the way he said Christmas was changing for me. It's like that's a way to describe where, you know, what you thought Christmas was and this is what Christmas is all about. That's uh-huh. That's really funny. That really stuck with me.
Notice he never mentioned how old he was when he stopped believing.
Ooh, That's a good point. I mean, it might have just happened last year for all we know, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, speaking of reindeer, here's Natasha Zimbaro with her take on Christmas.
Something that stands out anyways when I was younger is that my brother and I would always just leave, again, this is going to sound like everyone's story, but leave little cookies and carrots and everything out for the reindeers. And then I think like the joy that we got from walking downstairs in the morning and seeing that they've been half eaten and knowing that the reindeers and that Santa Claus had been there, that magic that came from that was always really something special for us as children. But I think to go along with that, we always never lost sight of the true meaning of Christmas as well. And so my parents were really great at kind of combining the two to have that magic from, you know, being around Santa Claus, but also remembering Jesus's birth. So I think that just the combination of both was instilled into me when I was younger, and both brought magic to our lives. And obviously the most important thing was Jesus's story.
God, I gotta say, I'm a little confused. Back to the true story of Christmas. Brandon Love, mm-hmm. Can you shed some light on this?
The first thing that came to me was when I was younger, and my mother, she was a single mother, and she always found a way for us to have an amazing Christmas where we got a lot of gifts. And I remember when I was about 8 or 9 or 10, I used to find out where the secret hiding space was for the toys.
That's good. That's good.
And so I was like, you know, I was excited, but then I was like, oh, that must mean the other person that brings the toys doesn't really exist. So sober moment.
Okay,
for
so
me.
The other person, let's just not give that away or divulge that right now, because we don't want to disappoint other kids that may not be in the know yet, right?
Exactly. So, but I'm saying that was a funny thing for me. But in the latter years, you know, just being able to make it centered around Jesus, make this holiday season centered around Jesus as much as possible for our kids. And we've had an opportunity to take some of our children around the corner where there's someone that's homeless and, you know, just give them a hot plate of food. We've had an opportunity to just go be a gift to other people that just don't have, and my kids be a part of that experience. It just really, really puts the emphasis in for the season and the reason that Jesus, you know, died so that he could give us life, but that we could be able to be a gift of life to other people. And so just seeing my kids find the meaning of Christmas in that way has been a blessing to me.
Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of Christmas presents and opening gifts and all of that good stuff, I'll tell you what, David Leckie has a story for us that you got to hear.
Just the way we used to celebrate as a family compared to now, you know, things have gotten so much smaller. I don't know if it's the same in your households. We used to have it where half the living room was full of presents and we'd open them one at a time when I was growing up. And I mean, it took like 4 hours. And
oh, it sounds like my house. Yeah.
And now it's gotten to be where, you know, there might be a half a dozen or 12. Not that the amount of presents matter because it's family and everybody's enjoying each other. But it's more like now the cards on the tree and the things have just kind of shrinked, you know. And I've talked to other friends about this and they feel like it's... So I think just the change... And maybe it's because of the families just don't maybe get together quite as similar as they did. And, you know, and I'm kind of saying how old I am here, but in the, you know, in the 70s and 60s, 70s, whatever. But I would say that's kind of the biggest thing for me is just remembering just the huge Christmases we used to have when I was little.
We still spend a lot of time opening gifts, but I'm really glad after the gifts have been opened, we can kind of move on to the rest of the, you know, family time together.
Yeah, no, I get that.
We actually, my wife and I have started getting, you know, extra, and boxes of chocolates is a perfect example where you buy some extra just in case somebody drops by, and oh, we've got some gifts
that's
for you.
Right.
So it's like, oh man, we don't have anything that's for right. you. So now we have the box of chocolates wrapped up. Backup gifts. Quickly scribble on their name and Merry Christmas. We were thinking of you.
kind of like the old fruitcake that gets passed around. You know, the old fruitcake, you know,
funny.
Where maybe the same fruitcake has been passed around for 15 years and nobody's ate it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. It goes in the freezer for a while and then somebody takes it next year.
Yeah, takes it and then wraps up again the next year.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Do either of you like fruitcake?
No, but that's the reason why it comes back every year, right?
I've
never seen a worse item.
Y'all haven't had any of my grains.
I've never seen a worse item. That's hilarious.
It's like beets or something. I mean, it's terrible.
Wow. You haven't had my granny's fruitcake, David.
Well, I'll take your word for it. I mean... I would eat it, you know, if Granny's there and looking at me, I would eat the fruitcake and I would no facial expressions. I would just thank her and appreciate it so much. And then
don't come back next Christmas because you know you're going to get fruitcake.
Or just say, you know what, I just like this fruitcake so much. This is really something.
It's really something. That's a way of not saying anything, right? Wow, this is really something.
It was something.
Oh, just love sharing some laughs on Between the Grooves. It's our annual tradition, our Between the Grooves Christmas episode. And here's something. Here's Natalie Lane.
One thing I think about at Christmas each year is my very musical family and them gathering around to play instruments and sing songs. And that's the first thing I think of when I think of Christmas, just like being around everybody and singing and making music together. So that's like a memory. And then of course there's cookies and hot chocolate and all the things that I love. So it's really a perfect time. Yeah.
You had me at the cookies for sure. Fresh out of the oven?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
All right. So I'm getting hungry officially.
Yeah.
We're talking about cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Meg Ammons.
A couple things that pop into my brain real quick is just that my mom would make like 40 different kinds of Christmas cookies. And I grew up in Pennsylvania, so we had real winters. And for one, snow on Christmas morning, nothing could get better than that. It didn't happen too often, but if you happen to get wake up to fresh snow on Christmas, that was like the ultimate thing. the joy of that. And then I think of my mom's Christmas cookies. She'd keep them in the hallway in these tin cans, and we'd come home from school and you'd get to pick, and like, which ones will I pick today? Because it was just this feast of homemade love, you know, and we'd go sledding
cookies,
down the
though.
Hill.
You had me at the homemade cookies.
Oh, she's...
You did not have me at the snow, I'll tell you that. I've seen enough of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have this wonderful winter wonderland kind of childhood memories. We had horses and we'd pull a toboggan, you know, horse would pull that, or my dad would pull us back up the hill to sled on a snowmobile, so we didn't have to do the hard work of going up the hill. He'd pull us back up, and we'd sled down, and he'd pull us back up, and I just have these great... Of course, we were cold. We'd put our feet in bread bags inside of our boots to keep them dry. You know, we had all these little, you know, hacks, mm-hmm. call them now. I just have a lot of great childhood winter and Christmas memories.
Such sweet memories that we have, and memories that we create. But I have a question. What is a toboggan?
A toboggan.
Yes.
You don't know what a toboggan is.
Listen, I live in Florida.
Okay.
And when she said toboggan, I was thinking a headpiece for some reason, but then you
are so wrong. You are so a toboggan is like a sled. You sit on this thing. It could be made out of wood. It could be made out of plastic, and you're going to sit on this thing at the top of a hill, and you're gonna coast on down. I mean, some of the movies, you know, some of the Christmas movies have these things, but that's the actual name, is a toboggan or a sled. You go down this thing and you have a lot of fun. The worst part is having to climb all the way back up the hill again to go back down again.
Mm-hmm.
That's a toboggan.
And now that I know, it's not a headpiece.
Right. Let's move on. We're checking in with Ryan Dahl.
Probably the best moment for me of Christmas is sleeping underneath the Christmas tree as a 7-year-old and staring up into the array of multicolored lights. And I gotta say, I kind of miss those days, because my wife tends to really like just the white lights and a very perfect tree. Right now, it's a beautiful showpiece in our living room. But I often will like remember the days when we used to like take, you know, craft paper and make those little rings and, you know, stick those and all the different messy ornaments that were all around the tree. And then I would get my blanket and put the fire on and saddle up right under that tree. So that's something very unique, very personal. It's a very emotional experience for me to connect with the rawness of Christmas, the anticipation of, you know, what's going to happen the next day. Or sometimes I would be doing that, you know, for weeks before Christmas, just when the tree went up. So that's kind of what came to mind from a personal point of view.
Ryan, thanks so much for sharing that story with us. I think back to what Drew said about his tree and not being perfect. And I think we've all probably had that experience, especially when you have young kids and they get involved in decorating the tree and stuff. So just to be a kid again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, here's Sterling John.
I think my meaningful moment would be not having much as a kid. I know it sounds funny to say, but I remember coming home from church and not having anything for Christmas, and there was a bag of toys left on our door. And, you know, I remember there being, you know, crazy carpets and that sort of thing. And I think that because of those memories, that's what I take forward within my life now, my music career, and giving back. You know, we do a lot of giveaways at Christmas time for families, and that's a direct reason why what I experienced as a kid, because to see kids lighten up, you know, with getting a Christmas gift, you know, it's just the most amazing thing. And so, yeah, that's what my meaningful moment is when I was younger and my memories with Christmas.
Gosh, so many great stories and just stuff that warms your heart. Here's Terrence White.
Well, Christmas is the time for family, you know, and enjoyment, you know, and I think growing up as a kid, I would look forward to Christmas because I knew that I would get a new kind of instrument every year, you know? And so just that feeling of being able to, my parents would take the time and have things set up, and they would hide, you know, obviously we'd have to hide. Sometime I'd sneak out and see what they were doing. But, you know, that feeling of that, I think as I grow up, or have grown up rather, you know, my appreciation for what Christmas really is, you know what I mean? I mean, the creator, you know, and what he came into this earth for, and the love that he's came, you know, for. And so I think that the enjoyment of being with family and time of sharing and just, you know, I'm often the one that's sitting down playing music and different Christmas carols and the fireplace is going. And so, yeah, those are the things that I think upon as being valuable when it comes to Christmas.
Yeah, I got to say, as you mature, I think Christmas, the meaning behind Christmas changes for you. I mean, there's always the story of Jesus being born, but I think as you mature and get older, you know, as kids, maybe it's the focus is on gifts. And as you get older, it's family time and maybe beyond that and food and everything else. I think I'm at the point in my life where I just like to sit back and watch and see the joy on kids' faces or, you know, just whether it's sitting by and listening to music and live music, you know, and enjoying that sort of thing or the quiet moments or whatever else. I think we just mature as we get older. I think all of it changes for us.
Yeah, it does. I think so, too. Yeah, we do end up having a greater appreciation for different things.
Yeah, yeah. I think Jeremy Camp can relate to that as well. Jeremy?
I remember my parents, we didn't have much money at all. I mean, like, literally growing up with nothing. And I was in Bible college my first year, and I had to borrow people's guitars to play worship at the school because I didn't have my own guitar because we just couldn't afford it. My dad has his guitar, and he would play at church, and that was it. So I was out in California, they were in Indiana. So one Christmas, the second year of my Bible college, I woke up and saw this massive gift. I'm like, what's that? Open it up. And it was my a guitar they'd bought for me. They bought me a Taylor guitar, which was my dream guitar. And they took a loan out to get it, I remember. And they literally was like, as a family had to talk about it, saying, hey, this is gonna be a lot for us. We're gonna take a loan out for you know Jeremy's guitar, but we believe wow. in what God is doing in him. So I'll never forget that. And it's like they sacrificed because they saw what God was doing in my life, and they wanted to be a part of helping that next step. So,
do you still have the guitar?
Oh, absolutely.
I was gonna say, let's see how meaningful it was for you. Do you still have the guitar? And if you had said no, it would be like, well, I guess I just put my foot in my mouth.
No, I still got it.
Well, speaking of instruments and the fact that this is a music type show, who have we got next?
We got Dwan Hill, my guy, telling us all about his Christmas experience when we had a chance to talk to him earlier this year.
It was one Christmas when I was maybe 12. I really wanted a keyboard. It was this Korg Karma Red keyboard before Nord was in it.
You know the model and everything. That's awesome.
Oh, man. It was like, if I get this thing, God, I will serve you the rest of my life. It was like that level prayer. And so my parents had packed all these presents under the tree. They wrapped all the presents.
And there was nothing shaped like a keyboard.
There was nothing shaped like a keyboard. And so I remember sitting on the couch and almost started crying.
Yeah.
And my mom and dad looked at me like, what's wrong? I said, I didn't want to make them feel bad. I was like, I'm good. I just, you know, I guess I'll play with my toys.
You just say, I'm so happy.
Yeah. I was trying to hide it. And they had a little smirk on their face. And they said, go look behind the couch. I looked behind the couch and they had bought the keyboard.
That's awesome.
So I always remember that as my parents know what I need. And
yeah.
our Father in heaven knows what we need. Even if we don't get it the way packaged and wrapped the way we want to get it, he knows when. And he's got a little smirk on his face. Even when it seems hard, he's like, I know what's going to bless them and make them happy. So that's my Christmas memory.
Really enjoying this Christmas episode of Between the Grooves. A few more people to chat with.
Sir.
Next up, Jesse Reeves.
When I was a kid, before Christmas, I was, I forgot what, I was in my dad's closet for something. And I found we used to call them boom boxes, you know, a big stereo.
Oh, yes. System.
Ghetto blaster, yeah.
A ghetto blaster.
Yeah.
And I was so excited, you know, because, you know, you're not supposed to find your Christmas presents, but I was so excited.
So you thought you found the secret stash, eh?
100%. And on Christmas morning, my sister opened that
boom box. No.
And I got a Walkman.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, the like little yes, headphones Walkman. So imagine this. I was devastated, but I couldn't say anything because I wasn't supposed to have found the present, right?
Right.
And so I was like, it was this internal war as a kid, like seeing my sister open this thing that I thought was mine. And then all of a sudden, now all I have is a Walkman. And I was so disappointed. Here's the lesson, though, that I've learned now as an adult. I spent all day, every day outside. I was either mowing pasture, or I was feeding cows, or I was riding horses. And I could take that Walkman with me everywhere I went and listen to music. My sister did not do that. She would come home from school and go up to her room and listen to records on her stereo. As an adult, what I can see from when I think back of that is that my father knew me, and he knew what I needed. Mm. And he gave me a gift that I could use in my daily walk. Does that make sense?
You're getting spiritual now, right? Because that's what I'm reading in all of this. It's like we've moved past the Walkman now, haven't we?
100%. Again, we're in 1 Corinthians right now, where our Father gives us different gifts.
Yes.
And he gives each person a different gift. And it's easy in the church to look at somebody else's gift and say, I wish I had that gift. Instead of realizing that your Father knows you and he loves you and he gives you a yes, gift that you can use in your everyday walk. And I learned that the really hard way. But now as a pastor of a church, when I have people go, hey, I wish I had that gift, I'm like, guess what? You don't get to choose that. Your Father gets to choose what gift you have. And be happy when your sister opens the boombox. Be happy right, when somebody else has the gift of healing, or somebody else has the gift of hospitality, because God's given them that gift. Sure, and you sure, be content with the gift that God has given you.
Wow, we could just end it right there. This guy was preaching.
Yes, he was preaching. Glory yeah, to God.
lots of great, meaningful moments, including Michael Bethany, who's here right now.
You know, when I think about Christmases, I think about two things now that I've got kids. And I've seen them open up gifts, and, you know, I think about when my dad bought me and my brother bikes, and my father worked really hard. And the reason I think this is important is that he wanted so badly to give me and my brother something that he never had. And he, you know, he saved up money, and he had a lot of kids, and he got us these bikes, and he stayed up all night because he didn't want us to see assembling these bikes. And we come downstairs, and it was one of the best Christmas moments I'd ever had as a kid. I don't know. I never really fully put it together that at the time that Christmas was about Christ. But I was seeing the love of my father and experiencing that, which was the foundation of me learning Christ.
Sure.
And I just thought that was really beautiful that I think about that now. And then I see my kids and how I love them, and some have those same moments with them. And everything we do, I mean, it's from that place of love, right? And it's also a demonstration of God's love, and our kids are learning. I'm hoping that they will learn to be as generous as my example to them is. But even in that, just those memories as a kid being loved by my dad, knowing that, and he used Christmas to do it is one of those opportunities. And I've carried that on with my boys, you know, to do things for them and to see the look on their faces, especially when their grades haven't been so great. And they get some anything they're gonna get. It is like, and I just get to give them that story. I love you. I love you, man. And that's really cool.
Man, speaking of the joys of Christmas, it's interesting because my third son, he just lost his second front tooth. So his song this year will be "All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth." And
so will
listen,
he get it?
I don't have any. All I know is I don't have any extras to spare at this point. but just making those memories, it's so beautiful. And it'll be forever etched in my heart and in my mind. My guy with his little snaggertooth self for Christmas this year, you know, and it's just things like that that make it extra special.
You could always give him like a little envelope or in his Christmas card an IOU for those teeth, because you know they're coming, right? maybe a few weeks down the road, but they're coming. It's just going to be after Christmas sometime, right?
Mm-hmm. Tooth fairy, IOU something.
Okay, so who's up next?
Oh, my buddy Brandon Camphor. He's on the line now.
I, as a young kid, loved the idea of giving gifts and making my mother specifically just feel loved and happy. And so every year at Christmas, I wouldn't have money because I was like, you know, 10, 11, 12. So I would go through the house and I would find random things. and I remember one year I went and I wanted to give her a gift, and I went and I grabbed a pair of gloves out of her closet and I wrapped them. And Christmas morning came and we were giving gifts, and I gave my mom the gift. I said, "Here, Mom." And she was so happy. "Oh, Brandon." And she opens them and she's like, "Oh my gosh, I love these gloves." She's like, These look like the pair I had. And I'm like, they are yours. Christmas for me, sharing that for the humor of it, because that's the kind of gift giver I was. I was a repurposer. I
went repurpose, yeah. Re-gifting.
But I also lived up to the meaning of giving at Christmas. You can give something someone already has.
All right, so let me ask you this. Have you ever done regifting?
We did something like that with our kids, but it wasn't a regifting thing. What I found when my kids were young is they would get so many gifts and toys and presents, and not just from us, but from extended family, aunts and uncles, sure, and whatnot. And so they got so much stuff, you know, it was overwhelming for them. So what we would do the next day, or that, I guess, that night when they've gone to bed, we would take some of them and we would just store them away somewhere. And then over the course of the next few weeks or months, one of these toys or one of these gifts would just magically appear. That it was already theirs, and it wasn't wrapped. They'd already unwrapped it and everything else. But it's like, oh, to them, it's like a brand new toy that they haven't played with before, you know. And so we would do that over a period of time. The only problem is when we forgot about it, you know. But as long as they don't remember, that's awesome, right? Listen, speaking of gifts, let's check in with Jay Oliver.
I think whenever I look back at it, it's probably not for the I'm just, because I mean, I don't want gifts to be so much of a centerpiece whenever I'm raising my kids, but I will say that the gifts were in abundance as I was growing up, and there was always such a big deal. It's actually one of the things that shocked my wife whenever we, you know, went for our first like family Christmas to my grandparents' house. Is there were so many gifts, and she was just overwhelmed, because in her culture that just wasn't a thing. Like, they maybe got like one gift a year. And so I think that as I learn more about Christmas and what like the actual meaning behind it is, whenever my kids are growing up, I just want them to know that the gifts come from God and that Jesus is the reason for it, and not necessarily, because I mean, the Santa thing is something that it was definitely heavily in my upbringing. But I think I want to flip that whenever I have kids, to know that, you know, we can still play the Santa game, but also know that Santa got the gifts from Jesus first, you know.
I love that, the sentiment, just the simple things. Let's see what Monique Sade has to say about it.
Each year, as of late, I've been thinking about the song Happy Birthday, Jesus. And I think it was my first solo for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
And it's still a very relevant song. And I really enjoy that it is. And it's also sentimental for me because my late uncle, he passed a couple of years ago. He was the first person to play for me. And so it just brings warm, fuzzy moments and memories. This, the Happy Birthday Jesus song, it helps pivot the thought of Christmas back to who it's about. So I love that the song was written. I don't know who wrote it, but I love that it was written to the perspective of we're celebrating Jesus.
So just to be clear, it's not Santa.
Absolutely not.
Oh.
Absolutely not.
Do you like how I acted surprised there? What? Not Santa? Well, we have one final guest dropping by. Here's Micah Tyler.
So a Christmas tradition in our house that we started with my wife and kiddos, and it kind of was like my brother and I grew up watching the movie A Christmas Story with Ralphie and the Red Ryder BB gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it would play for like 24 hours leading up to Christmas. So when we would be laying there, not able to go to sleep because we knew that we were going to have presents in the morning, we would just watch this show over and over again. So we introduced it to our kids about, 8 or 9 years ago. And it kind of became a tradition. Well, now the tradition has evolved into, so we actually had COVID, or my two oldest kiddos had COVID Christmas of 2020. And so we weren't able to go and do Christmas with everyone else. And we had planned on doing something fun. So my parents were able to help me out. So in the movie, at the very end of the movie, their food gets, there's these dogs that come into their house and they eat their Thanksgiving turkey, I mean, their Christmas turkey. They have no food to eat. So they have to go down to the Chinese restaurant down the street and they eat Chinese food for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So now every Christmas Eve, we go and get Chinese takeout from a couple of towns over because Buna doesn't have it. We get a Chinese takeout, we watch the movie, and then we have this feast of Chinese food together. And so that's kind of it's not something you see in a Hallmark card all the time. But for us, Christmas kind of feels like shrimp fried rice sometimes for us.
Right.
So that's kind of become a fun tradition for us.
I think I might try that this year. Chinese food, because as you know, and I've mentioned this to you before about the fact that we do this big breakfast deal. So
right.
What if the Chinese place is open? Why not have Chinese like Christmas Day night or something like that, you know?
It's a stretch for me. I'm a bit of a traditionalist, so yeah.
Just chicken balls, fried rice, honey garlic wings, all the true authentic Chinese food.
Don't do that to me on Christmas. No, no.
Yeah, it might be too much.
I'm all about, creating new traditions with your family.
But that's a new tradition.
But that's too much?
That's a stretch. Too much. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Well, it's worth a shot.
We'll leave it to Micah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, that about wraps up our Christmas edition of Between the Grooves. Got to say, on behalf of Aisha, Justine, our producer, and myself, we want to wish you guys just an amazing Christmas, and we look forward to connecting with you in the new year.
Absolutely. And before we go, we have to make it official. Like, we haven't sung together before.
We never have, and we need to.
Christmas.
I know.
Yeah.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Do you want to play it back so I can hear it?
Thanks for listening to Faith Strong Today's Between the Grooves podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, would you consider sharing it with your friends, rating our podcast, or giving us some love on your socials to your amazing friends and followers will only help us reach more people. We'd also love to hear from you and share your feedback in an upcoming episode. Send your video or written message to Aisha and James on Facebook or X at Between Grooves and on Instagram at Between Grooves Pod. Or email us anytime, hello@faithstrongtoday.com.